This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, July 21st, 2020, and I'm back from a few days off. I went and visited some relatives in Washington, and it was a lot of fun. I met a new grandniece to the family. It was a lot of fun, and you know, I have a lot of relatives up there and down here, so I really enjoyed that. And it was a really interesting experience getting on the plane from Long Beach to Oakland. There was maybe 20 people on the plane, 737. From Oakland to Portland, the plane was probably about half full. So those airlines got to be hurting bad. Anyways, everything is moving pretty fast, as you know. And the final two trading weeks of July are upon us. And, of course, volatility has been on display. The market's always changing, everybody. Always unpredictable. You saw that yesterday. You saw that, as I said, be many, many times in the last few months, this whole year, expect more volatility. Just expect the volatility to continue. We are in uncharted waters about our economy, about the government spending, and you know, not only here, but to just hear about the EU, spending in the EU, huge amounts of cash flooding everywhere. And we're not quite sure what will happen because the coronavirus has spiked here in the U.S. It's nice to see the death rate falling, but the number of cases are going up. So, you know, we're going to continue to have to deal with that. It was great to have news yesterday about from AstraZeneca that their human trials look pretty positive, and it's very likely that we're probably going to come up with not only just a treatment for the coronavirus, which is getting better and better and better, and I think that's why the death rate is going down, but also that we'll get a vaccine, but I don't know if we'll get it before this year, the end of next year. But, you know, it looks pretty promising at this point. So that's what's going on. And that's going to cause more volatility. It's not going to add that to the presidential election. Add that to the mix. Add the riots and things to the mix. I mean, you're talking about volatility. I'm Steve Peasley. And here on InvestTalk and at my company, KPP Financial, based in Irvine, California, we always operate on the same philosophy. And that is independent thinking and shared success. Justin Klein and I are a bit different than other money managers because we buy the same things for ourselves as our clients at the same price, same percentage, so that we call it parallel investing. So our money is riding along our clients. I really like that. I think, frankly, and you know, everybody talks about the fiduciary rule and all that stuff, which is very important. I'm not dismissing that. But I think money managers should buy the same things they're asking or telling their clients to buy. At the same price. In this day and age with computers, technology, you can do that. Instead of, here, you buy this. No, I'm not going to put it in my own portfolio, but you buy it. That's why I like the parallel investing idea that we've been doing for years. Not just years, now a couple of decades. I'm ready to take your calls. This is a call-in show. We answer your questions. The number is 888-99-CHART. And with everything that's going on, you have to make sure you're not putting off the objective of financial freedom. You have to keep that as a primary goal. And thanks to technology, Justin Klein and I, we are meeting people, no obligation, no cost, portfolio assessments via the telephone, Skype, Jive, email, any way we can do it. You know, especially now in these times where, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, get on the plane and go somewhere, and because everybody's so worried about the virus, and you know, it's just very difficult. You know, you still have to rebalance your portfolio. You still have to optimize it. You still have, based on your risk tolerance, your goals, your objectives, those kinds of things. So if you want us to take a look at it, send us an email through investtalk.com or call KPP Financial in Irvine, California. Learn more by going to investtalk.com. At investtalk.com, you can click on contact us buttons, and that sends us an email. So, love to talk to you. My focus point today concerns this analyst's bold assertion, look out for a stock market crash in 2020. We're in 2020. We're in late, well, two-thirds of July, July 21st, and we've got, what, five-plus months to go, and he's calling for a crash. He calls it the end game. Could he be right? Has the NASDAQ reached a classic end-of-bubble move, and could it now be on its final run to that end-of-bubble move, going vertical? So that's our main focus point today. I also want to talk about the EU and their budget they passed with the huge spending, coronavirus spending package they put together. I want to talk about tech stocks, drivers of the market, and have they achieved their goal of remote working? Their goal for years. Okay. And finally, buying a home in today's market. We need to talk about that. So those are the things we're going to talk about. The market, the Dow was up 160. The NASDAQ was down 87. Notice it was up big yesterday and down this today. And the S&P up 5. We had a mixed market day today. Kind of interesting. And that's what I had planned for today's show. But now let's take a question from our anytime listener line number 888-99-CHART.
Good evening, Mr. Peasley. My name is David Colin from New York. I have some investment on the stocks Hertz H. TZ. I know they are in bankruptcy now, and I would like to know your point of view whether they might come out of bankruptcy or I might end up losing my money. Could you elaborate on this a little more? Thank you for the show and your information. Thank you.
Okay, when a company files, a public company like Hertz, Hertz is HTZ, files for bankruptcy, okay, that means they can't pay their bills. They still have income. If they file Chapter 11, they want to reorganize and come out still being the same company, reorganize their debt and their expenses. If they file Chapter 7, that means you just liquidate. Well, Hertz filed Chapter 11, which is typical of most big companies that go bankrupt. Because most of the time, it's debt that's killing them. Anyways, what generally happens in a bankruptcy is the stockholders get zero. The stockholders before the bankruptcy get nothing. The bondholders get part ownership of the new Hertz company. This is typical. And sometimes if there's a union, like in the GM case in 2008, they might get shares in the stock of the new company. So what happens, they file bankruptcy, they reorganize, get a court-approved, bankruptcy court-approved reorganization plan, and then they reissue brand new stocks and discard the old ones. The old ones go out, done, gone, worth zero. And then they would trade under another symbol, maybe not HTC, maybe 8Z or something, symbol that no one else is using, and it's a brand new public company. That's what generally happens. You lose all your money. Sorry to tell you that. That's what happens. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Summer is well underway, as you know. We are more than halfway through July. Looking back, January before that, December and the holiday season, well, it all seems like a very long time ago, right? But it wasn't. It really wasn't. You and I both know that folks want to return to normalcy. I do. I certainly do, but it's not going to happen. However, the COVID-19 crisis is still going to affect our lives. It's going to continue to do so. So that we're just going to have uncertainty here. So how can you be a better prepared for that, the swings of the market? We'll talk about that. We should talk about everything. Your participation is important. Part of the mix, you drive the show. We're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Ben in Minnesota. He wants to talk about currency. How you doing, Ben?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you, Steve. I like the show. I just wanted to ask about the DXY, the ETF for the U.S. dollar. It's kind of going down, forward, it appears, and I'm wondering how you think this might affect the S&P's 500, if at all.
Did you say GSY or GXY? Hello? Okay, I'm going to go, I'm not sure what stock, but he's talking about the U.S. dollar, and I generally use the ETF UUP when I'm looking at the U.S. dollar. UUP is an ETF, and it's ETF seeking and trade, ETF seeking performance corresponding to the Invesco U.S. dollar index, bullish fund index. So what happens if the dollar is bullish, it goes up. If the dollar is bearish, it goes down. Dollar was down big time today, or the dollar down about 0.62% or so. But it's been in a fall ever since March. It's been falling, and it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. What? Why is that happening? Because we're printing money. We're printing money like crazy, and we're always going to print more money like crazy. And that usually drives the dollar down. But, of course, other currencies, other countries are printing money too, but we're printing a lot more. You know, I think the dollar is just going to continue to be weak. The Federal Reserve, the U.S. government, definitely wants inflation down the road. That is clear. Clear to anybody who's paying attention. Therefore, they would like the dollar to be weak. They want the dollar to get weaker so they can pay the huge debt we're taking on, huge U.S. government debt, with cheaper future dollars. Doesn't that make sense? Certainly does. So I think the dollar's going to get weaker. Doesn't necessarily mean the stock market's going to crash. It just means that the dollar with buying power will probably go down. Inflation will destroy some of the buying power. My focus point today concerns this analysis. An analyst has a really strong assertion. He says, quote, look out for a stock market crash in 2020. He's calling it the end game. Well, could he be right? I mean, everybody has their own opinion, but could he be right? Now, what he's doing is he's looking at a chart. He's looking at a very simple chart of the stock, of the index, especially the NASDAQ, and saying, you know, it has gone up vertical for a while now, and that is probably going to end poorly. That's what he thinks. In a nutshell, that's what he thinks. And he's comparing it with other times that this has happened, particularly the dot-com era, 1999. At first couple of months in 2000, the market shot straight up, and then it crashed. So the point is, the market can go up. That's not a problem. He doesn't even know. He says it could go down and start on his downward track tomorrow. It could be the end of the year. It could be next year. He doesn't have an opinion exactly when. Because if he did, I wouldn't even bring this article to your attention. Because no one knows exactly when that happens. But he's saying it's following a pattern. And that pattern is strong bull market over years. We had that, right? Bond in 2008, strong bull market, and here it is the last couple of years skyrocketing. Okay, and that pattern always leads to a fall in the past. And that's what he's predicting. He's just not predicting when it's going to happen. Don't know. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and if you've been listening to Invest Talk for a while, you have heard me say that I believe every investor should determine their individual risk tolerance. And as a first step in building a more profitable investment strategy for yourself, you need to define your personal risk tolerance, your personal comfort. And it's pretty easy. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. We've seen the markets go up, then down, sideways, and around. It's called volatility. And if you're a serious investor, you'll have finance and investment questions for Steve Peasley. He's here now taking your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. So I have about 11 or 12% of my portfolio invested in cash, and most of that is in an ETF, SCHO, and I'm wondering if you think it's safe, and how they're able to get a 1.9% yield on short-term treasuries. I'm a little confused about that.
Okay, this is SCHO, Schwab Short-Term U.S. Treasury, ETF seeking performance corresponding to the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Treasury 1 to 3 year index. And the reason why John is asking that is this ETF pays about 1.9% when short-term treasuries are paying like way under 0.5%. So why is this paying so much? And that's a very valid question, John. I mean, I could speculate, but they're following an index, that Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Treasury. First of all, we know that that yield, they're looking backwards last year, so it's probably going to come down because yields have been coming down. But also, it's still, even looking last year, 1.9 seems to be pretty high for a 1 to 3 year index in U.S. Treasury. My suspicion might be they could be paying part of the, because since interest rates are going down, they have capital appreciation. And maybe they're paying a little bit of that capital appreciation in the form of dividend, even though it's a 1 to 3 years, so they could be doing that to give you an artificial feel of a higher yield than it really is. But they're tracking an index. See, we have to find out how they structure the index. And, John, I don't have that information in front of me. I really don't. But that's my suspicion, that they might be paying out a little bit of the capital gains. In other words, selling a 3-year treasury at a pretty, you know, they bought 2 years ago and it's gone up 20%, sell a little of that off, capture the gain a little bit, and pay that to you as in the form of a dividend. They could do that. But when they follow an index, I'm not sure an index would do that. That's why I'm confused. John, I'll have to look it up for you, see if I can find out. Okay? Appreciate the call. Let's go to Kurt in Phoenix. Kurt.
Hi, Steve. Love the show.
Thank you.
Wanted to get your input on Albertsons, ACI. I already own Sprouts Farmers Market in the same category, and it's done good for last year. Just wanted to get your input on getting into Albertsons. It's a new IPO. Just wanted to see what your thoughts were and an entry point on the stock.
I'm actually looking at, this is on our watch list, Albertsons Companies. Operates 2,252 stores under 20 iconic banners in the United States and the District of Columbia. It includes 113 million net gain on property sales, so they've been selling some property. Okay, they're going to make $1.76 this year. That's up 81% from last year. Next year, there's $1.14. And it's a $15.67 stock. So it's not that expensive. And the problem is it's a very new IPO. Okay, so it's hard to know. We don't have any history on how it trades. You know, would it trade at the normal 15 times forward earnings? Grocery stores typically are low margin business. But we own quite a few grocery stores in our managed accounts today because we think, you know, it's a safe place to be, and inflation is coming, and it's a good place to be for that. And we think with all the stay at home, we think people are going to be buying more groceries and making more dinners and lunches and breakfast at home. And so we've been on this kick for a while buying grocery stores, and we do like this one. Is it at a, you know, it's been as low as $14 in, what, just about 2 weeks ago? And now it's at $15.67. I like it. I like it as a purchase. I just don't like buying new IPOs. I like to wait 6 months after they come out.
I agree with you on that.
Appreciate the call, Kurt. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you guys want to talk about? You know, you drive the show in any direction you want. Long as it's about money, I'm there. I'll talk about it. The EU passed a budget of $2.1 trillion over the next 7 years or so. Inside that budget is $750 billion euros. So it's 2.1 trillion euros, 750 billion euros were to combat the coronavirus problem. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. Okay, our modern stock exchanges today, I have a trivia question as always. The majority of trades are executed by computer these days, right? But it hasn't always been that way. I mean, this is recent. Now, as we go to break, here's my two-part trivia question. In which year did computerized trading begin at the New York Stock Exchange, and what percentage of trading that occurs on the exchange is attributed to high frequency computerized trades? I'll have the answer after the break, but for now, my phone line is open. I encourage you to ask investment questions of any kind, any financial questions, 888-99-CHART.
Numbers are elusive.
But if it goes to zero, do you lose all your money?
They're always changing.
Their debt-to-equity ratio is fairly low.
InvestTalk listeners know it's all about the numbers.
I'm 82. I'm interested in knowing what the recommended withdrawal rate would be.
So the questions keep coming.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm question regarding real estate.
Everything counts.
I was wondering if you could shed a little bit more light on ExxonMobil.
Jason El Segundo, how you doing?
Let's go to Robert in San Leandro. He wants an ETF follow-up.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein, thank you for your continued support.
I really appreciate your insight and your understanding of the market and financial business.
Since it all started, the total number of InvestTalk downloads has now exceeded 22 million.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I've been listening to you guys for 2 years, and I absolutely love your show.
InvestTalk.com. This is InvestTalk, the radio program and podcast dedicated to helping you achieve financial freedom. You may be a regular listener. You may even have called a few times. But if you've never called, what are you waiting for? The phone lines are open, and Steve and Justin would love to hear your questions right now. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. I have the answer to my trivia question. The question is, in which year did computerized trading begin on the New York Stock Exchange? Which year was that? The New York Stock Exchange switched to fully automated computerized trading system for the first time in December of 1966. Most people would think, you know, in the 1990s, because that's when the internet took off and all that. Nope, it was that far back. So the first computers at the NYSE were not well equipped to handle the volume, the trading volume. They were not. Ironically, the first computerized trading hit the New York Stock Exchange at the beginning of one of the longest dull periods for U.S. stocks in modern history. Meaning, what I'm talking about is the Dow in 1966, January, was at 990 points. The Dow was still at 990-point level 16 years later, until 1982. That is a bear market, secular bear market. 16 years, it didn't do anything. 16 years. As of 2007, a few exchanges still had floor trading, known as the open cry system, where you see them yelling at each other on the floor. Even though about 82% of the trades at that time were electronic, but still there was open cry system. How about a bonus question? What else was going on in the world in 1966? I think I was, junior high. Well, Mississippi became the last state in the United States to repeal a statewide prohibition on alcohol beverages. Remember, this occurred 33 years after the federal prohibition had been repealed. Remember the prohibition period? Alcohol was illegal in the United States altogether. You certainly have changed, have they not? Gary, New Jersey. I want to talk about MCK. Gary.
Hey, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call. Yeah, so I bought a half position in MCK McKesson back when it was sub 130. So I was just wondering, in terms, you know, it shot up since then, if it would be a good time to kind of put the other half in, or if you think maybe a pullback is possible.
Okay, let's talk about McKesson Corporation, MCK. Distributed specialty care, healthcare products, medical supplies, equipment to pharmacies and hospitals. It's going to, you know, the earnings are looking pretty strong. They're going to make $14.95 this year. Next year, they're scheduled to make $14.30, but then jump in 2022 to $16.95 a share. So at $16.95 a share, this is well below 10, and I would hold it. I would just hold on to it, Gary. It's a strong company. Sales are growing pretty up 12% last quarter. Before that, it was up only 5. So I think that this is the kind of company that will do well no matter who wins the presidential election. Doesn't matter who. I think we're going to bring back a lot of manufacturing here to the U.S. That will help McKesson. So I like it. Return on equity is very high. Doesn't pay much of a dividend, only 1.1%, but it certainly has a lot of room to grow their dividend. So I think I would hold on to McKesson. I think this is just, you know, it's up from 115 at the low in March, 155 now. The high was about 170. That was in February. So I can see it. I think it's just working its way higher slowly. That's my opinion. It might have another pullback, and I would buy more in a pullback. That's what I would do. Let's go to Chris in Walnut Creek. He wants to talk about cash. Chris.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I just sold my house about a month ago. I'm sitting on about $300,000. I'm 40 years old, me and my wife. We have one son, one kid. So what do you think of the housing market? Probability going down, or what do you think?
Well, housing market is always local, of course. Where do you live? Where did you say you live? Walnut Creek?
Walnut Creek.
Okay, and that's up in near the Silicon Valley, everybody. Not in Silicon Valley, it's north of Silicon Valley and due east of, like, Oakland's area, over the hills, right? That's where it is. Very nice neighborhood, Walnut Creek. I think Silicon Valley is going to continue to grow. I think the housing market in your area is probably going to hold up very well. It won't keep going up like it has. There's just a, you know, there's just a law of large numbers. You can't keep, you know, going up 10, 20% forever per year. It just doesn't do that. So it's slowed down. I think it's only up, what, 5 to 10% in the last year? So I think that's going to slow. You might even get a little retracement. But interest rates are so low, Chris, and they're going to stay low for quite some time, that I don't see how the housing market can't continue to do well. I just don't think it's going to grow. The prices are going to grow that fast up in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco area. But I don't think they're going to fall. I think they could, but I don't think they are because the interest rates are so low. So that I like the property. It's a good place to store wealth. It's better than in cash, that's for sure. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, tech stocks have been the driver of the markets for quite some time, right? Big tech, especially. And they've been pushing because they're pushing this COVID thing does not hurt them one iota. Matter of fact, it helps them a lot. Why? Because they've been pushing the goal of remote working from home ever since they started. I mean, that's what they like. Think about it. For instance, talk about Zoom. You know, Zoom is a company that you can have meetings online with and be in a meeting with 10 other people and you're all having a meeting. I do these every day almost. And they had enough space, enough capacity to do 10 million meetings a day. That was last year. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. They now have the capacity to do 300 million meetings a day. Netflix added 25 million users in the last few months because of the COVID virus. Microsoft, pushing hard in the recent years in the cloud computing area. Expect earnings to be strong for every one of these companies. So what I'm saying is that's where the growth has been, and they've been pushing to grow there simply because look at Amazon. They have built an infrastructure that can deliver products overnight. Overnight. Don't shop. Don't go shopping. Do it online. This is faster. So I'm just saying that you just have to, this is the new era you're in, and this COVID virus did not hurt this push into online buying, online trading, online meetings, on staying home, working from home. It's good for these kinds of companies. And of course, their stock price reflects it. That will end someday. I mean, when I say that, I mean these stocks eventually have everything priced in, and they will stop going up. When that will be, I do not know. No one really knows. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and yes, the economy is reopening in phases. There have been some setbacks. We know that. You know that where it's reopened, there's been pretty good resumption of economic activity. So that is a positive. But no matter what, you can't ignore your retirement objective. They still have to be what they were, no matter what happens in the market. So no matter what happens in the market, you need to, optimize your portfolio. And, you have to understand that you're dealing with a lot more volatility. Remember, I just pointed out that there were, 16 years where the market did nothing. If the market started to go sideways and just chattered at the same price it is today, you still can make money in the market. They pay dividends. Companies pay dividends. Certain growth companies will still grow. Companies get valued very low, and then they go up, and even though the overall index doesn't. So that can happen again. I don't think it can't. So you need to manage your money. We're all of us want that financial freedom goal. All of us do. So you need someone to look at your portfolio to help you with that, and we need you need someone to talk to you about your risk tolerance and how much risk you're comfortable with. And whether or not you're close to retirement or far away from retirement, what you should be risking, how much, well, that's what we're here for. You can go to investtalk.com, send me an email. We'll be happy to look at your portfolio and talk. Now I'm here and ready to prove, or at least to provide unbiased answers to your financial investment questions. We're taking your calls now live, 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. We have good news. Steve and Justin have recorded an all-new Rapid Fire Hour. It's a free podcast download, and you'll hear answers to 30 caller questions. You still get unbiased answers, but the show moves along at a faster pace. You can find it now for free at investtalk.com, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Search Invest Talk June Bonus Show. And now, Steve and Justin, welcome your calls. The Anytime Listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Bill in San Diego. Bill. I'm sorry, it's Will, not Bill.
Yeah, it's Will in San Diego.
I do, Will.
Steve. Listen, I was reading in Barron's last week about this company. The ticker symbol is GHC. And they say it's pretty well undervalued, so I was trying to get your thoughts on it.
Okay, this is Graham Holdings. It's a $2 billion company. Holds interest in magazine publication, television broadcasting, and educational services. Well, two of those three things I like. I don't like the magazine publications. I think that's a tough business. Television broadcasting and education services with this, with the idea of schools from home, they might be in a very good position to take advantage of that. You know, so that's the area I think they have the most, the probability of having the biggest prospects of growth. They are growing 6 to 10% a quarter in sales. It's a $386 company. They're going to make less money they made in, last year. They made $33.80. The year before, they made $48. So I'm not sure why that has, and I do not have projections for this year, 2020, which is pretty unusual. I wonder. So, turn equity is low.
It doesn't look as good a deal as it was portrayed in the article.
Well, it depends. Did they talk about the article about the growth of their educational services division? Is that what did they focus on that? Do you remember?
No, they just really focused on all of the current assets and the fact that the stock price has dropped significantly.
Yeah, it was much higher, $600-$700. And so let's say they make $33 a share or $35 a share. Well, that means it's about 11, 12 PE. And that's the low end of its five-year range. So it's probably a pretty decent value play. And I would really focus on the two growth areas that and how much that magazine area represents of earnings. If the magazine area represents a lot of the earnings, like a third, I would be worried because I think that area is going to shrink more and fast. But the education services area, I think, could grow really fast. So I'd have to do some research on this to really get a feel on how well it is. Appreciate the call, Bill. Sorry I couldn't give you more information. Okay, let's go to another voicemail call in earlier.
Hey, Steve and Justin. I was just wondering what you thought of FNB Corporation, Fred, Nancy, Bob. I bought some of this back in February of 2018, and it was treading water for, I guess, 2 years or so until the pandemic hit, and it's obviously gone down since then. I was considering maybe adding more to my position, but now with interest rates being cut severely as they've been, and possible rumors that banks might be asked to suspend their dividend, maybe not this one per se, but maybe just in general. I'm just wondering if that would be a worthwhile endeavor or if I should just leave it alone or maybe even sell it. Just let me know what your thoughts are, and I'll look for your answer on the podcast. Thanks.
Okay, FNB Corporation, it's a holding company for First National Bank of Pennsylvania operating via 369 offices in areas of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, and other states. Their earnings have been going down. $1.19 in 2019, $1.19 a share is what they earned. This year only 86 cents, next year only 77 cents. Dividend is quite high, 6.3%. The stock is a $7.64 stock, $2.4 billion company, so it's a small cap. Can they afford a 6% dividend? Well, yeah, that's about half of their earnings next year. Cash flow, though, is $1.35, so much better. Return equity is kind of weak at 8%, and earnings this quarter is going down. So banks are having a tough time of it. Banks are. But at this stage, I think I just hold on to it because it's already got beaten up. I think I just hold on to it. It's a good, strong bank. Even though it's not a big bank, it's still strong. Okay, on the next InvestTalk, this story. Is a new stock market high coming because of the vast sum of money being printed? That story's tomorrow, everybody. For now, I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Dan in San Diego. He wants to talk about silver. Dan.
Hi, Steve. I've been following gold and silver for a long time, and gold's been doing really good for the last couple of months, but last couple of days, silver has really caught a bid. I was wondering what your and Justin's thoughts are on silver. Is it old? Is it a buy? Are we too late? What do you think?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure. I remember my mind is not that sharp. Maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, someone called about gold and silver, and I said, I think it's time for silver to make its move, and it looks like that's what it's doing. I don't think you're too late. No, I don't. It might give back. It was up, everybody. I'm looking at an ETF for silver, and the symbol is SLV, and it's up. Was up 6.15% today. Jump 6.15%. Gold has been marching up for some time, but silver has not been nearly as strong. But you know what, Dan? I think it's pretty, still pretty reasonable. I think it's still a. I think it might have a little pullback here. I can't see it going up. You know how things are. It goes up, comes down, goes
all
up.
Right.
But I do think it's going to. It's on an upward trend. It broke out. It's clearly a breakout. And you buy breakouts. You don't sell them. You buy breakouts. So maybe if you're going to pull back a little bit tomorrow, the next day, buy some. If that's what you want to be in.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Dan. SLV is the ETF for silver. It's an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the price of silver. Okay? So that's what that does. Okay. Do you buy a house now? Is it time to buy a house? Not buy a house? What should you do? And if you do... If you're buying for a house, what are some of the things you should do before you buy the house? Yeah, I have some suggestions. Now, home prices have jumped from January to June 9%. 9%. So it's been a pretty good move in the home price, mostly driven by the mortgage rates going way down and the huge amount of money the government's pouring into the system because of the COVID virus. But if you're in the market for them buying a house now, here's some suggestions. First thing is get pre-approved. Buyers are pretty particular these days. They can be. It is a buyer's market, not a seller's market. I'm sorry. It's a seller's market, not a buyer's market. The seller has control. The buyer does not because they get a lot of offers in a lot of different places. So you need to be pre-approved. That puts you immediately up a notch in a seller's mind. Because you already have the loan ready to go. Number two, be flexible because you're probably not going to get that perfect house. There's no such thing. And don't get into a bidding war. That just dries up your costs. But be a little bit flexible on what you want and where you want it. And number three, don't rush into buying a house. Take your time. Make sure it's what you want, what you'll be happy with for a number of years. So those are some of the suggestions I think are sound ideas about buying property. Even if, no matter what market it is, those are really good. Get peer approved, be a little bit flexible, and don't rush. When flexibility, for instance, you say, well, I want a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath. Then you find a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And say, nope, not mine. I don't want it. Doesn't have that half bath. Stuff like that. Or I want a big kitchen and it has just an okay kitchen. Everything else fits all your goals on what your desires. That's what I mean about being flexible. Don't rush means, hey, don't. It's not wise to get into a bidding war with somebody. It's just not. Now, that's difficult up in the Silicon Valley area because there's not enough housing up there. But for other areas, you don't have to be in a big rush. Really don't. Okay, everybody, I'm Steve Peasley, and thank you for listening to Invest Talk. I will return tomorrow. In the meantime, please tell your friends that we have posted a new June bonus show. Justin and I answer 30 caller questions at a fast pace, very fast pace. It can be downloaded now for free at investtalk.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Everybody have a great night. See you tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program,
It's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.